Good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to Bangor Liberty Friends Church and memorial service for Robert Rowe. If you join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we gather here to remember a life well-lived. We gather to comfort grieving family and friends, and we pray your spirit would remain here with us through all that we say and do, and it would bring honor and glory to your name. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Robert Rowe of 81 of Clemens, Iowa, passed away peacefully on Friday, January 24th, 2020, at his residence. Robert was born on November 12th, 1938, to Earl and Irma Rowe in Des Moines, Iowa. He went to Hubbard High School, worked with his dad in a garage, and worked as an aircraft electrician. Robert was stationed at Edwards Air Force Base in the Mojave Desert, California, for 4 years, where he got his diploma and met his true love, Jeanette, at a military dance. He was united in marriage to Jeanette Yunker on March 8, 1958, in North Hollywood, California. Robert was employed with Iowa Illinois Gas and Electric as a lineman. He volunteered in the Sunshine Acres Children's Home in Mesa, Arizona, and the House of Compassion in Marshalltown, Iowa. Robert enjoyed creative writing and activities such as racquetball and shuffleboard. He enjoyed riding his Goldwing Aspencade motorcycle, and he will be remembered for his sense of humor, his stories, and the gentle manner in which he graciously treated people. He spent a large part of his retirement residing in Mesa, Arizona, and Clemens, Iowa. Robert attended the Bangor Liberty Friends Church, and he cherished nothing more in this world than his faith, his family, his wife, close friends, and especially his grandchildren, whom were the light of his life. Robert passed away peacefully, surrounded by his wife and children, each of whom he dearly loved.
Have been cold there in my shadow to never have sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine, that's your way. You always walked a step behind. I was the one with all the glory, while you were the one with all the strength. A beautiful face without a name for so long. A beautiful smile to hide the pain. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be, I can fly higher than an eagle. 'Cause you are the wind beneath my. Have appeared to go unnoticed, but I've got it all here in my heart. I want you to know I know the truth, of course I know it. I would be nothing without you. Did you ever know that? You are the wind beneath my wings. Oh, the wind beneath my wings. You are the wind beneath my wings.
We're going to have the words up here on the wall, or if you want to turn in your books, page 2. How great thou art. You stand, please.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation, and and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. You may be seated.
We're going to have a time of open sharing. We're going to get with the family. There's a couple things they want to do and share, and then we'll leave the mic open afterwards. And if you're visiting, you're one of Robert's friends, you want to come up and say something, or feel free to do so, please.
First of all, I'd like to thank you all for being here today. Your support and love means the world to our family. I know Dad is now looking down right at us, looking down right now, decked out in his buffalo belt and swinging his fancy cane. And I truly believed he knows just how loved he really was. Dad was an honorable man. He was strong and humorous, and he knew how to tell the most amazing stories. When he told stories, he captivated a room. I could listen for hours when he talked about his days as a trampoline artist or the old good old days, or when he met his true love, his wife, my mother. As a kid, I always remember the many adventures were shared. We would go on road trips with the family and go on camping for weeks in Colorado and in California. Never mind that the camper broke down halfway in between the trip. Dad was a fixer, he was, and he got that camper up and running in no time. Yes, indeed. We would also go mushroom hunting, fishing, and worming. Yes, we did that too. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we went hunting and worming back in my days. Dad loved outdoors. I will never forget one skiing trip we took. Dad wanted to show his skills skiing down the slope, and there we went ever so fast. Down that hill, and the next thing I knew, guess who think what happened? The front of his skis got stuck, and he planted his face down first. Just like a pancake. As one can imagine, that was the last time we went skiing. There are many moments I will cherish forever. You are and will be my hero forever. And to my family, Ecclesiastes 3:1-4, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot. A time to kill and to heal. A time to tear down and time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. And a time to mourn and a time to dance. So dance with the angels, Dad. God loved you and now you are home. I will always be watching over you. You always will be watching over us. Like you always have, but I will miss you forever. I love you, Dad.
We spent 2 days searching through pictures to find things that were meaningful to us. And in the pictures that we found a letter that was written to my mother on their 50th anniversary. So I'd like to share this with you. To Jeanette, my wife of 50 years, March 8th, 1958 to 2008, one does not know where to begin, and yet it has been said I was never at loss for words. But this time I have a hard time letting my heart speak for me. It is as though it is saying words cannot do justice as what is stored within it. To share how much I love the woman of my life that has stood beside me for 50 years, loved me, had faith in me, and by that which God formed gave us 4 children. My words alone, they cannot say enough. I have come to realize that real love is when nothing needs to be said, but is shared when looking into each other's hearts and soul. To know you have become one in all things, we are no longer who we were. As our body shows the wear of our years gone by, and as the wind wears away the land of the earth, so does that of age. But today we know the true meaning of life, to be thankful for the moment. In my eyes, my wife is more beautiful than ever, and she will always be the little angel. I love you, Jeanette, and praise God for our life together. Bob.
Good morning. I'm Abi Salimi, Bob's son-in-law, the one with lots of hair and the more handsome one. I thought I'd say a few words. We had great memories together. We spent lots of times. I can say that one of the main things I learned from him was he knew how to have fun. Especially when he retired, using his motorcycle with his lively wife, Jeanette, with his motorhome. They were going all around the country, all around the country. That sometimes when I think about it, I say, well, I got to do that. Really, I think we got to learn from him how beautifully he lived his life. He knew how to go to great journey. He's on the way. I thought that I'd share with you a short story from Rumi, who is a 13th century poet, and many of you may have heard his poems. I'll give you the story first. Before he died, he asked his family and friends not to cry for him. They got to celebrate it, because he's going to a better place. And that's why every year around December 17th in Konya, where he's buried, people from around the world come and celebrate that night, and it's called the wedding night. So I thought that I'd share a short poem from him regarding death, to see how he looks at the death and is not anything but a great journey. That infinite life that we have, just we have been here for a short period, but we have a longer one ahead of us. It says, when I die, when my coffin is being taken out, you must never think I'm missing this world. Don't shed any tears. Don't lament or feel sorry. I'm not falling. I'm not falling a monster's abyss. When you see my corpse is being carried, don't cry for my leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm arriving at eternal love. When you leave me in the grave, don't say goodbye. Remember, a grave is only a curtain for the paradise behind. You'll only see me descending into a grave. Now watch me rise. How can there be an end when the sun sets or the moon goes down? It looks like the end. It seems like a sunset, but in reality is a dawn. When the grave locks you up, that's when your soul is freed. Have you ever seen a seed fallen to earth, not rise with a new life? Why should you doubt the rise of a seed named human? Have you ever seen a bucket lured into a well coming back empty? Why lament for a soul when it can come back like Joseph from the well? When for the last time you close your mouth, your words and soul will belong to the world of no place, no time. Robert, have a great journey. We love you.
Our grandpa was in a creative writing classes when he went to Arizona for the winter. Here's one of his stories, A Whale of a Tale.
Come join us on an adventure of a lifetime to be among the largest animals in the world. First class.
It's okay.
Accommodations.
Okay. You want me to read it? Okay. Come join us on an adventure of a lifetime to be among the largest animals in the world. First class accommodations, all the way. Yes, let's do it. The morning of our departure, we climbed aboard a plain old bus. Was told a wide bus, but was not allowed on Baja highways. For first class accommodations, well, first night's lodging, no hot water. Second night's lodging, could not get our room door open. Wife got trapped in the bathroom when our doorknob came off in her hand and the main part fell on the other side of the door. Cannot repeat what was said. Third night's lodging, no hot water, heat, or electricity. What did we get into? A lot of complaining was going on by many on the bus. Before we had reached this destination, knowing the trip would be a disaster for us. If we did not make the best of the situation, that evening the wife and I decided it was no longer a trip, but an adventure for us. That night we went to bed with our sweats on, sleeping cheek to cheek. The next afternoon we arrived at the village of Hiria Nora, our destination to go whale watching. I must inject, at this point, we had been spending no less than 9 to 11 hours riding each day. Stopped at least once a day by Mexican military who boarded and inspected for who knows what. Stopped to look at a blowhole and was made aware of plants that existed no other place in the world. It was not only great that we had landed, but found all utilities working, hot shower, heat, and electricity. We realized that little conveniences we had. The majority of the population for this world go without their entire life. The next morning, we boarded the bus and headed for the bay. What awaited us were several 18 to 20 foot aluminum flat bottom boats with 75 horse outboard motors mounted on each. Each boat accommodated 6 people. Heading out toward open water, we were told it would be a half hour ride before reaching the whales. I realized maybe this might not be the smartest thing we ever have done, but we are sitting no more than 18 inches out of the water. And we are going to be among the largest creatures on Earth. that weigh between 50,000 to 80,000 pounds and are 40 to 50 feet long, as if it were a scene out of Moby Dick. Whales were shooting upward and splashing back into the water as if welcoming us. Mother whales were swimming by their babies swimming next to them. Their guide informed us that baby whale weighs around 400 pounds when born and will consume 50 gallons of milk a day. Being born in the bay, their survival rate is 70 to 80%. Out in open sea, 10%. Then, without warning, our boat started lifting up out of the water. Some screamed, others shouted. Then we were gently let down and were informed we had just had a ride on the back of a whale. It was a different world, and we were in awe of the gentleness of these huge mammals. Now our boat was skimming across the water, then came to a coasting stop. This time we had been pushed by a whale. We were told a whale normally stays underwater for around 15 minutes at a time, but can last an hour or more if injured or scared. The next happening was when we spotted a large whale swimming just several feet under the water towards us. Within 20 or 30 feet from us, it disappeared. Seconds later, it came out of the water vertically next to the bow of our boat, rising 3 or 4 feet above us. It hung there as if frozen in time, looking us over with the great big eye. The lady sitting ahead of me reached out and patted it, and then giving it a kiss. Then, as quietly as it had arrived, it slid back into the water and disappeared into the depths. 2 days with the whales, what an adventure we had. For a moment, they let us into their world, and for that, we were left with treasured memories that will last a lifetime. My mom made me come up here and shared this memory. So I would beg my grandpa to make me and my sister go for card rides with him, because every time we went for card rides, he made up songs. And every time he would sing something about a rose or a frog, and I asked for the frog song one day. And he's like, well, there's so much frog songs, but all I can say is the frog croaked. Is what he said. And I'm like, that's a nice touch. So he sang lots of Rose songs, and he sang Elvis songs too. So, Grandma. What? Oh, yeah. Grandma hates Elvis.
So what have we learned today? Bob Rowe likes stories and Grandma hates Elvis. I hope you can live with that. Last week after Bob came home from the hospital, we had a chance to sit and talk, and we talked about a lot of things, but nothing really, you know, important or anything like that. But then we started talking about his wife and his family and how they were all planning to come back and spend some time with him. And we talked about plans for this day. But mostly it was just sitting and enjoying each other's company. That was easy to do with Bob. He was an easy guy to get along with until he had something he had to tell you or wanted to fix something. but that was all right. A few days later, I went over, and again, we talked about his family, and this time we talked about the cats, because we have to take care of the cats. We talked about today, and I asked him if there was any, there were any verses he was partial to or that he really wanted me to preach on today, and he didn't have anything. And I just looked at him, I thought about the family and the friends and the impact he's made on different people, on me. And I just looked at him and I thought, you know, Bob, you've already preached your funeral sermon. You preached it every day of your life. And so it is for each one of us. Every day we get out of bed and tell a story to the people around us. We tell the story of who we are, what's important to us, how we feel about others. And all of this comes out in the simplest gestures as we go about the business of our life. A man will tell you who he is by showing you what's important to him. So what's the most important thing in your life? Is it your car? How about your house? How about your bank account? What do you spend your money on? All of those things are good indicators and ways to read people and understand who someone is. But there are way too many variables in there too. You can read those things in multiple ways with multiple outcomes. And with all of these, you can never really be sure what is truly in someone's heart. So the question really becomes, how do you find out what is truly in someone's heart? In Luke's gospel, Jesus is talking to his disciples about how to evaluate somebody's actions and their motivation. He tells them in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. In Proverbs 4:23, Solomon writes, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Jesus, James, the brother of Jesus, tells us in chapter 3 of his book, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Bob has been described in many ways over the last week, but the thing to me that describes Bob Rowe is that he loved his family more than just about anything else. When I think of Bob, I can't help but think of the tree planted by the stream in the first psalm. Psalm 1 reads this way. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Everyone who reads this psalm wants that to be a description of themselves. The thing is, a tree doesn't grow by a stream in 6 months or a year. For a tree to grow and produce good fruit, it requires time. It's doing the right thing or trying to do the right thing over and over and over. It's about growing roots to provide a family with the necessary foundation of faith and acceptance and love. And over a long life, Bob was that tree, producing much fruit. You see it in the lives of the children and the lives of his grandchildren. That's not something that a man produces from himself. He accomplishes that by having confidence in the work of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bob woke up every day choosing to fill his heart with light and to turn away from darkness. To be honest with you, I don't think Bob really cares what I would even get up here and say today. But I do know, tell you what he knew and what guided his life. Because of the victory of Christ, death for Bob was a departure for home. It means being in the presence of his Lord and the company of other believing loved ones. For Bob and for other Christians, death is being freed from this life so we can go home. Jesus told his disciples in the upper room, let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Bob spent most of his life preparing himself for the time when he would be called home. And while we remain here, it's our turn to prepare. It's not unusual for many of us to start evaluating our lives and thinking about where we're at and what we're doing at times like this. In the 90th Psalm, the writer exclaims, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He reaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it." At the end of the psalm, the writer pleads, "So teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So I think Bob would say, teach us to number our days, or teach us to make the most of those days that we have. Teach us to love our families unconditionally. Help us to wring every bit of good out of the time we have here on earth. That is that we may redeem the time. And through the knowledge and application of God's truth, in this life we may glorify God and live for Him. Would you all pray with me, please? Heavenly and gracious Lord, we are grateful for the example of your servant, Robert Rowe, for the life he lived, for the husband, father, grandfather, and friend he was to so many. Don't let us lose sight, though, of the fact that everything we admire in Bob was a result of your work in his life. Help us to keep our focus on you, to put you first in our lives. Help us, Lord, to preach our own sermon each and every day. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to have you stand. We'll turn to page 200. If not, you can see it up on the wall.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Though many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come, 'tis grace hath brought be safe thus far, and grace
seated.
I just ask that you all join me in prayer, please. Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for your presence in our lives and here with us today. We are grateful for that peace that surpasses all understanding. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with us in the days to come. Help us to manifest that love and joy for life that identifies us as your people, as a people with a hope for the future. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go. You have made my life complete, and I love you so. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Love me tender, love me long, take me to your heart, for it's there that I belong and will never part. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Love me tender, love me dear, tell me you are I'll be yours through all the years, till the end of time. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always